Angela Ewing with KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio, with our new series, Writer's World. This is a true story I wrote years ago, and it's called The Corner in the Woods. A few years ago, I had the pleasure of living in Jacksonville, Oregon, an old gold mining town of small shops, unique boutiques, and good restaurants set between wooded hills and the grassy plains of the Applegate Valley. It became a habit to walk early every day before I went to work in an area known as the Woodlands, close to the historic cemetery. In the woodlands, narrow dirt paths meandered among fir and madrone, circling around the perimeter, then weaving back again. It was there, on my walks, I often saw Margaret, a young woman with a ponytail wearing a pink t-shirt and white shorts that showed off her tanned and muscled legs as she jogged rhythmically along the paths. Sometimes she'd pass me twice while I walked with my black lab, Tina. It began with just a wave when we saw each other on the path that crossed at the corner of the woods. She would stop to chat when we bumped into each other in town. And sometimes she would agree to have coffee with me at the Good Bean coffee shop, still a regular hangout of mine when I visit Jacksonville. Tina, my lab, was always ecstatic when I donned pants and jacket, suitably dressed for our morning walk, no matter what the weather. And during the next 5 years of our daily walk along the same paths, I began to notice the different faces of the woods, and I wrote in my journal, I quote, "Today the woods are shining after the rain. The clouds have cleared away and the air is fresh and sweet. The bark of the wet manzanita shines with a patina of polished leather, and oak leaves, no longer crisp underfoot, glow with a new luster. All around, the trees are laced with grey-green lichen that clings to the gnarled branches of old scrub oak. In the spring, miniature cyclamen appear at the base of the tree, pushing up from matted earth into clusters of deep purple. Last week, the ground was hard and covered with a white veil of frost. Before that, snow had hidden the path and revealed tracks of deer. Today, they are etched into the mud on the path that leads to the thick copse of madrone." Tina, sniffing the dampness, unearths a pheasant whose voice echoes sharply through the silence as he takes off in flight. "In these woods, I am alone but not lonely. I feel a sense of gratitude being able to walk in this special place. Then I look up into a tree, and tied to its lowest branch, I spot an orange ribbon. There are more ribbons on stakes stuck into the ground where someone's dream home is to be built. I am suddenly aware of a sadness that overwhelms me. 'Move on, little deer,' I say. 'Soon there will be few spaces left for you.' I shout into the trees, 'Fly away, my lovely pheasant. Soon your voice will be replaced by the workman's hammer, bulldozers scraping the land to cover its softness with concrete, houses and people.' I never pick wildflowers, knowing how quickly they wilt and die. But today, I pick a bunch of miniature cyclamen, those bright purple flowers whose days are measured by their changing color. I shall press them in a well-loved book and preserve them. For the memory of these quiet woods is in there. And surely when I walk here soon, it will be among elegant houses along a broad, hard road." Last week, while visiting my daughter in Jacksonville, I decided to take an early morning walk before the day became unbearably hot. I headed for the woodlands. It was a relief to find the paths were still there, although some now bordered the fences of the tailored grounds of large homes. The air was already warm, the earth cracked and dry, and the paths I remembered were covered with old oak leaves that crackled and crunched noisily beneath my feet. It was not my black lab that walked beside me, but my daughter's golden retriever, Annie. She was bounding along in front of me, stopping only to sniff at some secret and intriguing smell. When we reached the corner, the crossroads where paths intertwine, Annie suddenly stopped. Her ears went up, her tail went down and almost tucked between her legs. She pushed her body close to me. I patted her head. "What is it, Annie?" I whispered. I looked right. No one was there. Then I spotted Margaret jogging toward us from the upper path, her ponytail swinging from side to side, her strides even. I called out, "Margaret!" And as she passed directly in front of me, I called again. But I suppose she was lost in thought because she went right by me without a single word. When we finally made it to the coffee shop, no one was yet sitting outside, so I looped Annie's leash around the leg of a table, went inside and ordered a skinny latte, 12-ounce, one shot. When I came out, Annie was slurping water from a dog bowl that is always kept full outside the Good Bean. I sat down at the table in the shade. I saw one of my old neighbours, Sharon, coming down the street with her little Yorkshire Terrier. Sharon smiled when she recognized me and greeted me with a hug. As I sat down beside her, I said, "It's been a while since we saw you." We chatted for a few minutes and then I thought about Margaret. "Sharon," I said, "I was just walking in the woodlands and I saw Margaret Thornton. I didn't have the chance to talk to her because she was running and she didn't see me. How is she?" A strange look came over Sharon's face as she leaned towards me. "Are you okay?" "Yes, why?" "Margaret Thornton died a year ago, cancer." I looked at her, and I must have had my mouth open. But I just saw her," I said. "I'd never forget her face and the ponytail and the way she dressed. It was her." "Well," Sharon looked at me with raised eyebrows, "perhaps you saw her ghost." It was obvious Sharon believed I was slightly demented, and she hurried away, dragging her reluctant Yorkie behind her. I started to think about my own sanity then. Had I imagined it? And why did Annie act so strangely? Then I suddenly remembered that although I had seen Margaret, I hadn't heard her. I had been walking through cracking leaves with Annie, but Margaret passed by in total silence. So now, I have to believe that spirits do return to places they love. There are ghosts. And this is just a memo. When I leave my mortal coil, you will find me walking in the woods that used to be. Probably it will be along a broad, hard road, beside elegant homes and long driveways. But perhaps, just perhaps, I shall see in the middle of a carefully landscaped lawn, a lone oak tree, and at its base, one small, brave, purple flower. This is Angela Ewing with KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. You have been listening to Writer's World. Thank you for listening.
If you enjoyed this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio and help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.